This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of John. We've been looking at chapters 5 and 6 in John, and these chapters aren't the easiest chapters that we sometimes consider when we're reading through the Gospels and the books of John and in the writings of John. But I think if you go through them as we've gone through them, you see that Jesus is making some very important points to us. In fact, there's one saying that Jesus says over and over again. He said, truly, truly. Some of the older translations say, verily, verily. I think the NIV says, this is truth. And Jesus is saying that to emphasize what comes next. And you see, he says that many times in these chapters. So this is really an emphasis on that these chapters are important, even though they're not always the easiest ones for us to understand. They weren't for the Jews at that time either. In fact, towards the end of the lesson today, we're going to get to verse 60. And in verse 60, he says, this is a hard teaching. Well, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? What we'll look at this morning is what made it hard for the Jews at that time, and what makes it hard for us sometimes to accept the message of Jesus. Because sometimes these things aren't as easy as we like to say they are. Sometimes we only want to look at maybe what we consider the milk of the word, those things that are easy to understand. And we don't always want to look at the things a little bit harder. And in this chapter, as we've gone through chapters 5 and 6, sometimes it's not as easy to understand as we like to have it sometimes. And we have to delve a little bit deeper. A couple of the verses we've considered before, though, and I want to emphasize as we start our lesson, really came from last week. If you remember from chapter 20, John gives us the reason for the whole book. And this book is written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, these things are written. The things that I've written to you are written so that you can believe. It's open to everyone. And that's the whole point of the book of John, that this message is open to everyone. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is truly the Christ. And by believing that, you can have eternal life. And you remember verse 29 that we looked at a couple weeks too. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent. The work of God, the work that God requires of us. God requires that we look at these things. And that by looking at these things, we can believe. That belief is open to all. A verse we'll look at later today, verse 40. What is the will of the Father? The work of the Father is to believe. The will of the Father is the same, that we can believe on the One. And by believing, we can have eternal life, and that Christ will raise us up on that last day. This is what God wants from us, and this is open to all of us in this book of John as we go through this morning. But sometimes it's not as easy as we'd like to make it to be. And as we go through today, we'll look at what makes this thing hard sometimes. One of the stories that came up about what we believe, and sometimes it's easy to believe one thing, and we don't always want to question things and believe something else. There's a story told of a young boy comes in from Bible class, and his mother asked him, what did you learn today in Sunday school? And he said, we learned about Moses. And so his mother, well, what about Moses? Tell me what you learned about Moses. And the kid said, well, God sent Moses behind the enemy lines to help the Israelites come out of Egyptian bondage. And he brought the Israelis out, and they got to the Red Sea, and they had to go across the Red Sea. So Moses called all his engineers together, and they made a pontoon bridge to go across the Red Sea. And so they went across the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians came with all their chariots and their tanks, and they were about to overtake them. So Moses called his air force in, and they bombed that bridge, and they destroyed that Egyptian army. And his mother looked at him and says, did your teacher really tell you those things? And the little boy looked up and said, Mom, if I told you what my teacher told me, you'd never believe. And sometimes that's where we are. We want to sort of believe what we want to believe, and some of that we don't want to always believe. The whole point of the chapters 5 and 6 is that one little thing, believe on the one that God sent. Jesus comes back to that over and over again. You must believe on me. And in the end of this chapter, he's going to talk more about what does it really mean to believe in Jesus. Look at with me at our scripture reading this morning. This is from John chapter 6, and beginning in verse 35. And it's one of the stronger statements that Jesus makes in the Gospels. In chapter 6, verse 35, we read, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Now that's a strong statement right there. If you go through this, you never hunger, you never thirst. "But I said that you, but I have said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, if we begin this section, Jesus makes a very powerful statement. He says, "I am the bread of life." Now, in our English translations, we miss really the strength of that statement. If you had a what we might call a word-to-word translation, it would actually read, I am. And Jesus emphasizes that I am part of that. If you remember back from your study of Moses, where we first come upon the I am, you remember when Moses comes to the burning bush and he asks God, I mean, God, by what name? Who are you? And God says, I am the I am. This is really what Jesus is saying here. He says, I am. It's that same I am that God used in the burning bush. This is the beginning of where Jesus shows the people, I am divine, is really what he starts to say in this section. He goes on to say, before he said, I was sent from the Father. Now he says, I came down from heaven. Now that's a strong statement too. And that's going to cause some problems with the Jews at that time when he says, I came down from heaven. Jesus is declaring in this section, as much as any other section in all the New Testament, that he is truly the Son of God. There are a lot of teachings today that would make Jesus just to be a good teacher, like many other teachers. But that doesn't jive with what Jesus says. Jesus proclaims himself here to be coming down from heaven. And in coming down from heaven, he's declaring himself to be divine. And that's what we're going to see the Jews at that time, and even people today sometimes, have trouble with what Jesus is saying. But he reiterates also the Father's will. His Father's will is what? That everyone who comes to him, that everyone who is drawn to Christ, that believes on him, would have eternal life in Christ. And that goes throughout this whole section, that everyone who believes, Christ will raise him up on that last day, that would be those that are drawn by the Father. But look at the next section, and you start seeing what caused the Jews problems with what Jesus was saying. Listen to how the Jews, what they said, after this saying from Christ. In verse 41, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven." See, it's not just that he said, I'm the bread. I came down from heaven. Because listen to what they said next. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I came down from heaven?" And Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, all that will come to me will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for them, the life of the world, is my flesh." Now, Jesus says a lot in this section. But he starts off answering their question. They said, well, how can you say you came down from heaven? Aren't you Jesus that we know Joseph and Mary right down the street? Aren't you the carpenter's son? And we know who you are. How can you say you came down from heaven? That's where the Jews were at that time. They were listening to Jesus, but when Jesus starts moving himself to be truly divine, they were saying, how can you say that? How can you tell us that you came down from heaven? And notice Jesus' reply to them. And he brings out the idea, I am, the bread of life. And he brings that out again. And then he goes through more what it means. And he talks about being drawn from the Father. Now, some would say in verse 44, when he says, only those who are drawn from the Father. But through this whole section, Jesus means to us what that means. That means to be taught by God, as he says in the next verse. Those who have been taught by God. How are we taught by God? Well, if you go back to what we ended chapter 5, Jesus talked about what it means to be taught by God. Jesus gave four witnesses of himself. He gave John the Baptist as a witness for himself. He gave his own life as a witness. And then he goes to the witness of God himself through the miracles that he worked and through the scriptures. That's what it means to be taught by God. And it goes into what when John says, I wrote these things in this book. So that when you look at this book and you read this book, you can believe in Christ. Because this is the witness. And it goes back to those four witnesses, John the Baptist, Jesus' own life, the miracles that he worked, and the scriptures. Now, we looked at the scriptures a couple weeks back in quite detail. The scriptures here that Jesus refers to means the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament, Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus brings out that the law of Moses, or the books of Moses, the first five books, the Psalms, and then the prophets, all testified about me. And he says, all that was written about me in these books must be fulfilled. Now you think about those scriptures. They're not like a book that one man sat down and wrote, as some supposedly holy books are. These are the scriptures written by God over 1,000 years. You go back, Moses lived roughly 1,200 years before Jesus. Then you get the Psalms. The Psalms are written mostly from David, who lived 1,000 years, but also others that lived between 1,000 and 500 B.C. Then you get to the prophets. The prophets go back to Samuel, who was before David, around 1,000 B.C., all the way to Malachi, 300 B.C. So the scriptures are written over 1,000 years by many different authors, and yet they all have one message, and that is the coming of the Christ. And through those scriptures, Jesus says, this is a witness that I am truly who I am. And if you look at these things and be taught by God through his message, then you can believe in me. But now he ends this section with a very difficult part where he talks about eating the flesh and drinking the blood. And that's hard for us to think about, and it was hard for the Jews at that time. He ends this section, and listen to the next section that we get to. In chapter 6, verse 52 through 58. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. These are not easy things for us to look at, are they? Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now this section may not be easy for us to think of either. Because Jesus uses some very graphic language. He doesn't say, I give my body. He says, I give my flesh. And that's a very graphic word to use. And he repeats it many times through this section. I give my flesh and I give my blood. What does Jesus mean by that? What does he mean by drinking the blood and eating the flesh of Jesus? Well, he goes back to what does it mean to believe on him. He introduces a section that says, I am the bread and you must believe on me. And now he brings that you must eat the bread, or you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is he doing? What Jesus is saying is, if you come to me and believe on me, you must become me. Jesus is not saying that Christianity is something you just add to your life and become a better person and do a few good things. He says, if you want to believe on me, you have to be me. You have to abide in me, as he says, and I will abide in you. You have to become one with Jesus. And that's not always something we always want to hear. Because we're not always ready to give up everything for Him. But that's what Jesus gives us in this section. You must become me, and I will become you. We must become one with each other. You must abide in me, and I will abide in you. You must become one with your Savior. That's what Jesus introduces in this section. And that's not something we always teach as much as maybe we should. But through the whole section of 5 and 6, Jesus constantly comes back to, you must believe in me. And in this section, He really brings out, what does believing in Jesus mean? It means walking like Jesus walked, living like He lived, being like Him, becoming our Savior, having a like mind to His mind, thinking about things, looking at people the way Jesus looked at them. And that's why John can say, when we come to the point where you love your neighbor as yourself, then you've crossed over from death to life. That's what Jesus is saying. He came to show us what that meant by giving Himself for us. Now in this section, some people see the beginning of the Lord's Supper in the eating and the drinking of the flesh and the blood. Now this came long before the Lord's Supper, and it points to the having that faith in Christ. But it does show us the coming of the Lord's Supper too, I believe. Because we think about what do when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We remember the great gift that Christ gave for us when He gave His body and He shed His blood for us. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember those things. And we become like our Savior and we renew our covenant. One of the things we sometimes lose sight of when we meet around the Lord's table, we're renewing the covenant that we have with Jesus. When Jesus died upon the cross, He died to institute a new relationship between us and the Father, a new covenant. And we should be thinking of that covenant, renewing it each week as we meet around the Lord's table. So in these words of Jesus, when He says, I am truly the nourishment comes from me. When He says, I am the bread, or I am, we need to think about renewing that covenant and think about these things that He gave Himself. The other aspect that we see in these section two is pointing towards the cross. There are many things in John that point to the cross beforehand that when you look back, knowing the cross, you can look back at it, you see that. And in this section, when Jesus says, I give myself, my flesh and my blood for you, that points definitely to that sacrifice that He gave for us on the cross. So in this section, it's rich in everything that we believe about Christ. We believe the Lord's Supper when we renew the covenant for Him. We look at the cross when He gave His flesh and His blood for us. Both of those are brought out in here. But the main point Jesus is making is if you want to believe in me, if you want to be one of my disciples, you must live as I live. You must abide in me and I must abide in you. You must become one with me. It's not enough just to say you're a Christian and do what you want to do. I came and do the will of my Father. Throughout this section, Jesus said, I came down from my Father. I was sent from my Father. I do His will. We must be willing to do the will of our Savior, Christ. Now look at the last section, and we get to how they grumbled and what caused them problems. Look at verse 60 again. This is where we started this morning. And listen to what caused the Jews' problems. When many of His disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Now Jesus is going to tell us what offended them. When He said, do you take offense at this? Jesus knew what was troubling them. It wasn't what troubles us. I think what troubles us is when Jesus talks about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. That troubles us. We may not understand what He's saying. That's not what troubled them. What troubled them is what Jesus answers in the next part. Jesus says, then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. What Jesus is saying, what caused them problems, was when Jesus says, I came down from heaven. That's what caused the Jews problems. Because Jesus was raising Himself up to be the same as His Father. He was truly proclaiming Himself to be the Son of God. And when He says, I came down from heaven, I was sent from my Father and came down from heaven, Jesus was telling them He was truly the Son of God. And now he says, does that offend you that I said that? I came down from heaven? So would it offend you then if you got to see me go back up to heaven? Here again, we have pointing towards the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus back up to heaven. Because that's what Jesus says here. He says, when you get to see me go back to heaven, maybe then you will believe. And truly, then many would come to him and believe after the cross and the ascension back up to heaven. And so what caused the Jews problems is thinking of Jesus as being divine. I think what causes us problems is this idea of giving ourselves totally to Christ. When he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's saying, you must become me. We must become Jesus in the way that we live. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him. And sometimes that's not always easy for us to do. Listen to the last section where he gives us the last with the disciples. At this, many disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, not to everyone, but to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now in this section, Jesus turns to his disciples, the 12, the ones that he had handpicked. And he asks them a question. The way this question is written, maybe we may think Jesus is wondering if they're going to leave too. But Jesus really gives them a rhetorical question. In the Greek, it's much easier to see. He knows the answer before he asks the question. But he wants them to say it to build their faith. He knows who believes in him. One of the things if you go through this whole section of John goes through that he knew who was believed on him and he knew who was going to betray him. He knew what was in their hearts. And he knows it now when he asks this question. And then Peter answers. And Peter doesn't answer just for himself. But notice Peter answers for all of them. He says, we believe that you are the Holy One of God. We, all the disciples. And as John points out, that really meant 11 of them, not Judas. But the 12 believed in Jesus. They believed he was the Holy One. And they believed that in believing in him, they had eternal life. And that's where we are today. If you go through chapters 5 and 6 of John, these chapters bring us to the idea that eternal life is found only in Christ. He is truly the Holy One of God, the Son of God, that came down from heaven. There's eternal life nowhere else but in Christ. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. Chapters 5 and 6 of John bring that out very, very plainly. There is no nourishment anywhere else. Jesus goes back at the very end of this section where they talk about the manna from heaven. If you remember from last week, the people asked him for a sign. Will you give us a sign like Moses gave that you're invisible manna from heaven? And Jesus goes back to that and says, I'm going to give you something much greater than that. They ate the manna from heaven and they died. But I give you bread, I give you nourishment, that if you eat this, you will never die. You have eternal life, and I will raise you up on the last day. As we go through our lives, think about your life this week. Eating and drinking the body and the blood of Jesus means becoming like him as we live. And that's the story of the Gospels. Not just believing and putting it back on a shelf, but believing and putting it into our lives. And that's what you do when you eat something and you drink something. It becomes part of you. And that's what Jesus is saying. I need to become part of you. You need to abide in me as I abide in you. You need to become like me. And that's the message of the gospel, is becoming like Christ and having eternal life in him and walking with him for eternity. This morning, if you've never come to Christ, you've never come to the true bread of life, there's never going to be a better time to die with your Savior in baptism and arise to walk in a new life. Or if you've come to him, but you haven't really been faithful to him, why not come back to him this morning? Think about for really truly partaking of the bread of life today and for all eternity. Won't you come as together we stand and sing? Like a river.